welcome in everyone to the VIP users group for the iPhone on that last day of the month of July 31st, 2024. Welcome in. I'm going to start out by talking about reading. We all, as blind people, most of us like to read a lot. And I know some of us go back to the days when we used to read on records, cassettes, those flexible discs. Oh, and when we traveled, we just like, okay, I'm going to take a book with me. How many books can I pack in my suitcase? How many, you know, because we're always reading. So now in modern days, technology has given us the benefits of, you know, the Victor Reader Stream, you know, the smaller portable reading devices. And since the iPhone has come out and Bard has really advanced as far as downloading books. I can remember a day when I would used to download books onto the computer. You were only allowed to download 3 titles a day. Now you can pretty much go to town on the download process. And then they came up with Bard Express, which made it, it really streamlined the process on the computer. And then the iPhone came out. And with the iPhone came the Bard app. And some people are real hesitant to download the app and use that. But let me tell you, it is just like reading on your talking book machine. It has all the same controls. It has a sleep timer, speed control, tone control. You can set bookmarks. You can jump by chapter, phrase. It's pretty incredible once you, you know, and like any other app that you download, you have to explore the screens and learn, you know, what the app is wanting you to do. So I'm going to open up the discussion. We'll talk about Bard.
TX Active.
Not Bard, not Audible.
Yeah, I have Bard on my phone. I've never used it. I guess I was, well, of course, until you do it the first time, you don't know. I was also wondering just how quickly it'll drain your battery.
Well, it's using audio, not video. So I can read all day long, and it does not drain your battery that much. So that is, because it's audio and not video, it uses very little battery power. So I wouldn't be afraid of that.
Oh, that makes sense. I don't know why I didn't think about that.
TX Active.
Yes, and it's just talking, just words. That music actually drains your battery more than these books do.
They make it really simple when you download the app and then you sign in with your credentials. It brings you, you know, with a screen with the 4 tabs. I think it's like wish list. Actually, it's like the bookshelf, get books, and things like that. And then if you've never downloaded a book, you want to double tap on get books. You can either search for a book, go through the most popular, most recently downloaded, the wish list, and whatever you choose, you just double tap there and flick through the selections. If you want to download it, you double tap on the title. It'll ask you, do you want to download it? You double tap it, and it's just really, really seamless.
And then they just go into your bookshelf, right?
Yeah, then you want to go to bookshelf and then select audio, because you can, there's another section for magazines or braille books. But you want to, hey, Hank, we're talking about the Bard mobile app right now, downloading books to the Bard mobile app. And then you go to your bookshelf and double tap on audio, it'll tell you how many titles you have, and it does sort them in alphabetical order. So you can go through that. Once you're finished with the book, you go through, and if you see a title that you've already read, you flick down, and there the delete button is right there. So you just double tap on that, and it's gone. So if you want to say, I really like that author, I want to read another book by that person, you find that book, and on the title, you flick up, and it'll say other books by such and such, other books by that genre, and other books in that series, you know, similar to that. So that is also a great feature to have.
I have not used it on the phone for a while, but I believe you can also, if there's a, I don't know if it's the author or the book series, you know, in case new ones come out, you can subscribe and get, I don't know if you get a notification if new books by that author come out.
See, I've not seen that. I've not seen that. I have looked for that, but I maybe I'm going in the wrong area, but that is a great feature to look for.
And hello, everybody. Sorry I'm a little late. Got a phone call last minute.
So if you haven't downloaded the Bard app, I highly recommend it. Also, you know, if you don't think your iPhone speaker is loud enough for you, you can always Bluetooth your phone to a speaker. I have a Bose Micro that I can turn on, and the book just booms through the room. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's so great. I am the type of person that will read while I'm cleaning house, cooking, you know, vacuuming, whatever I'm doing, you know, doing laundry. It just really helps the time go by. So I'm a avid book reader. So anyway, anybody have any comments on that? All right, so we're all professionals on how to use the Bard mobile app. So the Mar was asking what the difference between the iPhone and the iPad Pro. I don't think the only difference is you can't make a phone call with the iPad Pro. But I think the attraction for most people is a lot of people like that landscape, and they like the video. They use it as a computer, and it's basically a video. They watch movies with it.
Do they sound better than the iPhone?
I would have to say they would sound better, especially I heard Pro in that. So the iPad Pro, I believe, comes with four speakers, and it does stereo and simulated surround. But it's up to you if you want to spend the extra money on getting an iPad Pro for the sound, or like she said, just maybe getting a Bluetooth speaker or something and connecting your phone to it, and then you can basically have as much or as little sound as you want, depending on what you buy for it.
TX Active.
Another thing about the iPad Pros, this one I have is the latest 13-inch, and with the Magic Keyboard, it actually has the function keys, so it is very much like a laptop, just not quite as big.
And I think that is the attraction, because rather than carry a laptop out of town or anywhere, it's like being able to, I know when my husband was alive, he loved his iPad, and he took it everywhere with him. He watched movies on it. You name it, he did it on that iPad. He loved it. But I still have the iPad, because the first device I got was an iPad. And I can remember getting it in the mail and like being all excited. I had Chris Turn voiceover on. It's all ready to go. And I'm sitting down looking at it, and I'm going, I have no idea what to do with this. I just spent all this money, and I can't even use it. But I watched a couple of podcasts on the computer, and it gave me some hints on what to do, so that I was off and running then.
One thing to know for anybody getting an iPad or has one, it's because this was an issue for me when I first got it. The layout is a little different than the iPhone. Like if you open up settings, for example, all your setting topics are on the left, like in a list view. So starting at the top, you have account, Bluetooth, wireless, etc. You go to general, etc., accessibility. Then you have your YouTube and banking. That's all like in a list all the way down the left side. And then there's a big window on the right, which, like, say, if you double tap on accessibility, then you got to, like, put your focus on the right-hand side of the screen to work your way through the accessibility things. And sometimes it'll jump back to the left, but it's almost like two windows.
When you think about it, it's the same on an iPhone, except the landscape is so much smaller. You don't realize you're going from one area to another. So when you double tap on something, you are kind of moving to the right just a smidge to get to the content. So it's just on a much smaller scale.
So what actually would you say is the diameter of that Pro?
Mike?
PX Active.
Has joined the channel.
Corner to corner, I really couldn't say. They call it the iPad Pro 13. It used to be the 12.9. They do have an iPad Pro 11. Although the 11 doesn't have the function keys. But it is still a full Pro in the iPad line. They have AirPod Pros, iPad Pro Airs, I think they're called, or something like that. They're a little bit less expensive, not quite as much space, not as fast. I think most of the people in here, if they're going to use it for, you know, books, music, email, so forth, so on, they really wouldn't need to have the Pro. I have it because I can. That's pretty much the only reason.
And just to add, I just asked a lady, and granted, she didn't tell me which model, but the iPad Pro, corner to corner, 12.9 inches.
Oh, okay. That's bigger than I thought, so that's good.
Well, if you want a smaller version of that, they have those. Do they still make the iPad minis, or did they discontinue those?
They do have a Mini 6 is the latest one. I suspect, because it's been a couple of years, they'll probably have a 7 or something similar to a 7 coming out this fall, but I haven't heard one way or the other. I have a 4, and I've just never had any reason to upgrade it.
I'm just going to move on to another topic. I tend to change subjects a lot, so bear with me. iOS 18 is coming out in the fall. Has anybody, I know there's been a few emails floating around about what to expect. Has anybody seen anything that would be really good for us?
TX Active.
I've seen comments on Facebook about people that are testing the betas. I have not.
And haven't they said some of the more sophisticated camera features you'd have to have a Pro, 15 Pro on up or something like that? I don't know how that, what those features would be that would be, you know, LiDAR and stuff like that.
I've got a 14 Pro, and it's got three cameras on it. And every time I call Ira, it's only using one camera. So I don't, and when you go in to take a picture, it doesn't give you the option to say, use all three cameras. I mean, I don't get the point.
They always say the next camera's better. I don't know. I have a 14 Pro. I do know the 15s on up will support Apple Intelligence. They say the 14 will support some features and not others, but I don't think anybody really knows yet.
Apple Puss.
All I heard you say was Apple Puss, Terry.
What was that, Cheryl?
we heard AppleVist from your microphone, and I keyed up, and my microphone was muted. I did read about that this morning, about the Apple Intelligence. It'll be supported on the 15 Pro and the 15 Pro Max, but not the 15 and 15 Max. They have two different chips, so the higher-end chip will support it.
What is Apple Intelligence?
Yeah. I wonder why my key up didn't. I just said we're going to miss AppleVist when 18 comes out, because that was a lot of information on that site.
Just Apple's own version of AI integrated with Siri, I believe. It's supposed to be a more onboard learning personal assistant kind of thing going on. I don't know too much about it, but it's supposed to be bigger and greater than Siri has been. And Siri has not been great for the last, 5 years. I mean, it works. It doesn't.
All right. Anybody have any questions or want to talk about a particular app or is something that they have run across lately?
Gosh, there was something I was going to say, and now I forget what it was. Something I was going to ask about. Darn. Hate when that happens.
Fortunately, I don't have anything, but nobody's run into any issues or anything like that. And as far as the cameras go, Spence, I'm thinking what it is, the three cameras each have like their own function. Like one is meant more for panoramic, another one's meant for zoom. So if you want to zoom into something, it changes the camera, or it uses the two cameras for pictures, depending on what you're doing. Almost like having two eyes that, you know, for peripheral or depth perception.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a little beyond my... And I used to be into for photography when I was sighted, you know, and I used to... But that's been a long time ago, so those days of... And cameras have evolved in such a way that I am so not in touch. So, Linda, give us a preview of the Havel 1. I know Mark is going to be talking about it on Monday night, but can you give us a preview? What have you done with yours?
Basically, I have not done anything with it because my little computer broke down last week and it broke my heart. So I just really hadn't had a lot of heart with it. I do know that it has the six dots on it, and they are raised, and they're like keys, more or less. And then it has the two big keys at the top, and with the big keys at the top, which is next to your chin.
To enjoy chat 10, recording join channel, chat 10 open.
I guess it's a Bluetooth connection to your iPhone.
That's my understanding. We just got it in the mail just before this class, so it's charged up. So I've got to go to iamhavel.com for the manual.
Yes, I have mine paired up to my telephone already. My phone already. And it has the one and the three will they will turn it on and off, and it just has. I've got a notebook that is literally, I mean, it's pages and pages of stuff that I've done in Braille, so that I will have access to what all of the functions do and what they are.
And I will say that for those of you that still like your Siri, I occasionally use it myself, and it is available with the Havel 1. I won't say exactly which keys to press, because about the time I do that, they'll probably change them, but you can activate Siri with that and then enter on whatever it is that it brings up.
Well, that is cool. I'm kind of excited. Like I said, I got the keyboard. It's for Wayne, not for me, but I'll be learning how to use it along with him.
If you look in items of interest under Apple products and information, we've got a link right to the I Am Havel website.
I have been there. Gonna do that once again. Then Terry said it was available on Amazon, so I took a shortcut.
Yeah, we've got a link to the Amazon page on under the gadget corner section where we recommend products that we recommend or our members recommend, I should say.
I must commend the people that made this device. The buttons are very tactile and oriented in such a way that somebody that is not used to a touch device can operate this confidently. I am very impressed with it so far.
Unfortunately, I never finished learning Braille, but it sounds like a cool device. And I missed it. My jaws were yapping. I was trying to actually turn off the sound events and stuff. So the 7 and 8 keys are in up near your chin, and then are the 1 through 6, are they pointed out away from you, and you hold it kind of like, I don't know, you press the buttons in towards you?
You're holding the handle long ways across, left to right. The keys on your left hand, you have the 1, 2, 3, and then 7 key beside those 3, 4, 5, 6, and the 8 keys on the right side with your right hand. You're holding it with the back of the machine towards you, the keys facing away. That's the optimal way to use it. It is a handheld device. You can set it down, but then you have to rethink how your fingers are going to go. But yeah, it's very much like a Perkins, the difference being that the tips of your fingers on your left hand are on across towards the tips of your fingers on your right hand. So it's not quite the same feel as a Perkins, but it is like a Perkins.
Hey, John, we're talking about the Hable 1 keyboard at the moment. Welcome in. I haven't looked at it for long, but it looked to me like it had a long key, and then it looked like a Braille cell, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, next to each other, and they're all round. And then another long key on the other side of it. That's what mine looked like.
And your keys 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6. 1 and 4 are on the bottom as you hold the unit. And the 7 and 8 are at the top.
So that's sort of opposite of the regular Braille cell.
Yeah, I would have thought your 1 and 4 would be at the top.
Well, like I said, I've got the long buttons are on either side of the Braille cell, and the six round buttons are in between the long buttons. So I don't know.
Sounds like it might take a little getting used to. But again, I don't really do Braille, but the little I do know, I would think the 1 and 4 would be your pointer fingers, and then your 4 and 6 would be your ring fingers. Sounds like it's opposite of that.
You don't need to know Braille to use this device. It's just got, I guess it's using a Braille cell as for orientation.
It is strictly that for the setup.
How much does one of these cost?
$199.
It's on sale through Amazon. I thought I'd jump on it because I have seen it as high as over $300.
$199? That's not bad considering how much certain products are nowadays.
Yeah, you can buy it right from the company, but I figured Amazon was the best bet because if there's any problem or whatever, you have a certain amount of time to get it replaced or send it back or what have you. So I went with Amazon.
Well, on Monday night, August the 5th, I believe, at 7:30 Eastern in this room right here, Mark is going to talk about it, and I look forward to learning all about it.
Well, I am going to love it. I can't wait till I get into it, but I've been kind of slowed down with this computer bellying up on me. Blew my mind.
What happened to your computer? It just crashed and died, or just having issues with it?
I wish you all could have heard Lou Corbin talking about it the other night in the palace. He was literally ecstatic. He was so excited about it.
He might just teach me about that. Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm glad that something that he got works well for him. So yeah, that's when I showed that to Wayne, he looked at it and he's like, that could be a game changer. So, yeah, it really could.
Oh, it's going to be. I can't answer a cell phone. Never have been able to. But with this thing, I can.
So Lou, he said, wow, I'm ordering stuff from Walmart. He said, so easy. He says, I just put some more stuff in the cart just a few months ago. He says, I love it. I told him, I said, you're going to go broke. You're just going to have fun adding things to your cart and buying them. And your grocery bill is going to be out of sight.
I think Mark has worked with him and gotten him real used to it. And he really knows a lot about it. Lou is extremely smart.
Yes, he is. There's no flies growing on him. So I'm happy to hear that, because that can be such a useful tool for him in so many different ways around the house.
TX Active.
Also, I don't know if you guys are aware, on the website you'll probably see it. They do have an app for your iPhone that'll make it easier if you're going to update software and so forth. And I don't know if you can find it on the App Store without going to the Hable website instead. I got it through the Hable website.
So, how does it update?
TX Active.
On the Hable app, there is a software update link, and you click on it, and there are several things. There are language packs that you can download and so forth.
I never heard John say anything.
True, but rare. Or should I say rare, but true?
You mentioned Braille. It scared him away.
Well, you know, I have my Amaton keyboard, and that thing, it's never far from me. If I have to write anything more than a couple of words of text, I run and get it. And lately, I don't know, maybe somebody can help me in here. I want to set it to where when I type, I have Key Echo on. No, I'm not talking to you, Echo. I just want to be able to hear what I'm typing, but it's not letting me do that. Does anybody know where in accessibility to go to make that happen?
I would have to look. I would assume it would be under maybe keyboard. We could try go under settings, and then the first thing I would do is just type Echo in the edit field and see what comes up there.
I bet. Jeff would know too.
It used to work that way, and all of a sudden, you know, I'll be typing on the keyboard and I'm not hearing what I'm typing. It's like, boy, then I have to make sure I, you know, comes out the way I typed it, because, you know, sometimes my mind gets ahead of my fingers and I typos.
I know what I was going to say before, and I held on to it all this time. I have Bluetooth earbuds. They're not the Apple AirPods or anything like that. They're, I can't remember the name of them, something Air. But I, how do you get the phone to go through those? I can't seem to get that to work. Does anybody know?
Well, you have to pair it. So if they're Bluetooth, you go into your Bluetooth setting on your iPhone, make sure you have Bluetooth on, and then go into your that earbud, make sure it's in pairing mode so that when you connect, it will it'll say pairing request, and then you just hit enter on it when it comes up, and it should connect it.
Okay. I think I didn't phrase things the way I wanted to. They're already paired. That's not the problem. I can get VoiceOver to go through them and the music and everything. But as soon as the phone rings, it goes through the speaker of the phone, the conversation. And I can't figure out how to get them to the conversation to go through the earbuds.
Okay, this is something I do know a little bit about. You go into, it's not intuitive, but you go into your phone app, you go to the keyboard, you hide the keyboard, and then you go to audio, and then double tap on audio, and it'll give you a selection, and that one of them should be your earbuds.
Okay. Now, do you have to do this while the conversation is going, or can you do it before?
Generally, while the conversation is going. If you initiate the call, it should stay in your earbuds. But if they call you, and you answer on your earbuds, it should stay on your earbuds. But if you answer with your phone, it's going to go on to your phone. Did you get that?
I think so. I'll just have to experiment with it.
Because I have a headset that's Bluetooth, and if I answer using the headset, it goes into the headset. But if I answer using the phone, it takes it off the headset into the phone itself. So I was like, ah. So... And it's such a natural reflex to grab the phone and double tap that to answer it. So you forget that, you know, to do it on the earbuds or the headset.
Well, these little things too, I think you're supposed to be able to answer with them, but I can't figure out how, because they don't actually have buttons. They just have... Well, there's a part where you kind of tap on them, on the part that doesn't go into your ear, and you can, like, raise the volume and stuff like that. And I think it might have something to do with that, but I'm not exactly sure how to do it.
Well, you might want to just kind of run it through a test and say, hey, I'm going to try these earbuds out. Can you, you know, help me out? I'm going to give you a call and just, you know, work with it.
I know I have issues with answering a call and it's going to the earpiece of the phone, or even when you make a call, it's starting at the earpiece and getting it to go to speaker, because I've been reading all these things about the less amount of time you have that phone up against your head, the better it is for you. And I seem to have to shake it or whatever to get it off of the earpiece onto the speaker.
What I do when I call somebody, I put it up to my ear right after while it's ringing. And before they answer, then I pull it away from my ear, and that always switches it back to the speaker. Seems to work out about every time.
Did you know that you can say, call Mar on speaker, and it'll call her and use your speaker?
Oh, that's cool. I did not know that. I was going to suggest the same thing. Put it up to the ear and then pull it away. I will warn you, depending how loud your voiceover is, if you put it up too soon, you'll have her screaming in your ear, calling Spence. Well, not like that, but it's so loud when you put it up to your ear that you have to kind of get it close to your ear after she stops speaking and put it up to the ear and then pull it away. The automatic sensor. There is also a setting which I'm looking for now. I don't remember where it is, where you can set the default of, like you said, if incoming call, you can tell it to default to your earbuds or your Bluetooth instead of the headset. But I don't know how good that works or where it is. I am looking, though.
Okay, now the person that wanted, I think it was Cheryl, that wanted the typing echo. You go into settings, accessibility, voiceover, and typing. And in there, you'll find where you can set it for characters, phonetics, words, and characters and phonetics, words, all that stuff in there.
What I do, it's a little more work, but when I call somebody, I always double three finger tap to and shut the voiceover off. Because whenever I call somebody, I hate it when something pops up and starts yakking. Like a messenger thing comes in or announcement of weather or anything. You know, it just drives me nuts when I'm talking to somebody. So while it's ringing, I always do the three finger double tap to shut voiceover off.
If you don't use your phone for a while and then you go to try to do something on your phone, you get all these notifications coming in, and you it's like constantly flicking up, dismiss. It's like,
I hate that. I've seen the thing where you can just click clear and I'll clear all of them, but it's not always easy to find that.
So how do you... Like, I'm getting a lot of text messages, political stuff, and I don't respond to it, and I delete it. But is there a blocking? Because a lot of them seem to come from the same number. Maybe some local elections here or something like that. But how do you block text from coming in like that?
TX active.
You're supposed to be able to type stop, but I'm afraid to do it because if you do that, sometimes that just aggravates the problem.
At least with my phone, when I don't know how it chooses, but when you flick to delete, if you flick again, there's a delete and report as junk choice. And if you do that, they don't seem to come back.
Well, I changed mine. I went into that mic and it said words. It was selected to words, but it doesn't do it. But then, so I changed it to characters and words, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree. If it's legit, you should be able to type stop. It's almost like saying unsubscribe. But with all the spammers nowadays, you might just be saying, hey, yes, this is a real number, so start calling me with all your other numbers. What was I going to say? I think that's the way you do it, Spence, with the characters. And it was one more thing. Sorry. I just got company, so I'm going to have to go. Great class as always. Hope I was some help. If not, good luck, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Hank. Have a great day.
TX Active
has left the channel.
Now, personally, I have all that turned off because if I'm hearing it tell me what the characters are or the words or whatever, I get distracted and I forget what I'm supposed to be typing. But that's probably stemmed over from my days of a transcriber. You know, it came in my ears and went out my fingers.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to hear the words. You know, like as I typed it, when I hit the space bar, I wanted to hear what I just typed, but it's not been doing that. So we'll see if I can switch it to character and words, and maybe I can switch it back to words and have it work.
Yeah, transcribing ruins us, don't it, Mike?
I wonder if you can put any of that in the rotor.
TX active.
I would imagine you should be able to add that to the rotor, but I've never done it. So I'm not sure. You know, transcription, it's, I cannot tell somebody how to spell something. I can type it out, but my mouth won't do it.
I have that problem too, except now I can't even type it out. It's like, that doesn't look right. So now I used to be a really great speller, and now I have to ask Siri for a lot of stuff.
Ooh, I loved it. I wish I could still work.
I transcribed as well, and I sometimes think about that too, Linda. I know that I've lost some of my spelling and even my typing.
because I don't type a lot, you know, just an email here and there. And it's like, I don't want to lose those skills.
TX Active.
Well, with me, it's the keyboard, the Apple keyboard with those flat surfaces. I'm just not used to them, not even now, because I used the IBM style keyboards before, and I have it for this, to this day, I have it for my laptops. But my 85 words a minute days are done. Last time I tried it and did a test, I did 41. And if I type more, I'd probably go back up to 70, but I don't think I'll see 85 again.
I think I can do close to 60 words a minute, and that's a lot, but I'm typing all day.
Of course, it is different. When I worked, it was on a desktop, and a desktop keyboard and a laptop keyboard are two completely different things, I think.
TX Active.
Different animals, although Microsoft claims that their newest XPS computers have a keyboard that's slanted like the old style. I'll have to see it to believe it.
So, is there an easy way to put something in the rotor? Because, okay, go into VoiceOver to rotor, and you're going through all these options. So if it says selected, does that mean it's in the rotor, or is there a certain amount of things you can have in the rotor before you can't have anything in there again? Because if you, you know, like turn, you see all these different options. If you select one thing, does it take another thing out?
I think if it says selected, that's supposed to mean it's in the rotor. And I don't know if it removes anything or not. I really don't know.
I have never mastered the rotor. I'm hoping that Habel will master it for me.
I have never seen it take things out. I know that you can select it and add it to the rotor, and I think you can change the order in which you'll find it on the rotor. But I don't think it bumps anything out.
So if you select it, where is the add button?
TX Active.
Best of my knowledge, once you select it, you don't have to say add. I could be wrong, but I don't think you have to have an add button.
Okay, I'm going to play with that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mike. I think that's correct.
Does anybody notice apps that you can read what the headings and labels are, but it doesn't say button? I just had to download an app for our transit service here. And it's good. It's got, you know, schedule a ride and all this other kind of stuff, but there's no word that actually says button or whatever. But I'm taking it, if you do tap on it, it is going to activate.
Wow, if it does, the buttons may not be labeled. Maybe they're there, but they're not labeled. Shame on them.
TX Active.
Without seeing the app itself, I can't say as I would be much help. I don't think the app I use, I don't think has buttons. I think you sweep along and you'll find the bus line or whatever, and it just gives you the time, but I don't recall as there was any buttons.
Yeah, that's kind of what this looks like. You know, you can swipe across from item to item. I just downloaded this the other day, so I haven't done any of the functions like schedule a ride or anything like that, but I just noticed, yeah, you can read things, but there's no actual thing to let you know for sure, unless that as you swipe, you know, when it's reading it, you're focused on it, that when you double tap, it would activate it, I hope.
TX Active.
I'm really only familiar with the transit buses. The Lyft and Uber apps, I've really never used it, so I couldn't say.
Well, does it say link? Because sometimes they use the word link instead of to activate.
Nope, doesn't say that either. It just says schedule. And like I say,
there's nothing else that indicates button, link, whatever, because I thought about that too.
Oh, so when you go in there and you try to do something and nothing works, then I'm thinking that there are buttons there, but they're just not accessible.
Yeah, like I say, they just rolled this out the end of last week. And so certainly, if I find that it's not usable, I'll let them know.
Yeah, I'm surprised they hadn't gotten the blind individual involved in that process, because I know here in Jacksonville they had done that to see if their product was going to be accessible.
Speaking of Uber, I think they've changed it now, but for a while, when you take a trip and you're finished with it, they give you a way to rate the trip, and then you have an option of paying a tip. Well, for a while, I couldn't get it to submit, and so I just ended up not tipping drivers because I couldn't get it to submit. Now, I took an Uber on Monday, and it seemed to be easier, so I don't know, maybe they fixed it, maybe they've had some complaints about it.
I've heard a lot of people complain about some of the apps to where you literally have to turn off VoiceOver in order to click the button for submitting something. I know my PayRange app is like that for the laundry room. And I've heard other people say Lyft or Uber does the same thing.
Hopefully they will take heed and take it back to the developer of the app and include that in there. This day and age of accessibility, there's really no excuse. The tools have been available to them for many, many years now. Yes, it is a sighted world. I do realize that, but we have to live in it, so the least they can do is make it a little easier for us.
Well, especially since more and more companies are almost forcing you to do things online.
And that does bother me. I do not like that.
I don't either.
Well, that's what I'm hoping with this transit thing. I mean, there were two very nice ladies that when you called to reserve your ride that you could talk to. And I'm thinking, I'm hoping that this app business isn't going to eliminate their jobs, because this transit service for the area here is for seniors and those with disabilities. And a lot of them don't have iPhones or not that good at it or whatever. And I just worry all the time when I see something like that, that they're taking somebody's jobs away and the ability to talk to somebody.
That will never happen because for the reasons that you just stated, that there are people that do not want to use a computer, cannot afford a computer, do not have any interest in it. For that reason, they will always have access to reservations, because I'm a reservationist, been doing it for years. So, you know, we get people on the phone all the time that would never even consider. I mean, people are in their 90s, 80s, so, you know, that we transport, and they have no interest in learning that kind of stuff.
Would you please be careful how you're throwing that 80s and 90s stuff around there, Cheryl?
I started with the 90s, Parker. You are an exception to everybody's rule. You have a hard time convincing me that you are even in your 80s. I mean, more like your 60s.
Speaking of that, Saturday is his special day. Don't forget. The ripe age of 89.
Absolutely. Parker, you're a golden guy.
Borden, would you please be quiet?
You know I have a big mouth, Parker, and I have a hard time keeping it shut, especially when it involves my older brother.
Saturday. Well then, okay. Happy birthday in advance.
You might want to celebrate it tonight. You might want to mention it at center stage, Cheryl. Give the guy a little attention.
I'm going to get you, Barton.
Yeah, he just loves attention.
Hey, I really think a lot of this guy. You know, I do anything I can to help you.
I know somebody's got a birthday coming up in February. You just wait.
Yeah, there's three of us in here for sure.
I was going to say, we got a lot of birthdays in February. For such a short month, we got a lot of birthdays.
A lot of birthdays in August, too. We got Eric, Danny, Buddy, Parker, my sister-in-law, and my aunt.
The lady out in the other room, her birthday's the 21st.
We have about three people in our group with birthdays in August.
My dad's birthday was the 7th. My son is the 7th. Yeah, a lot of them.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and close out these iPhone discussion session for today. And wishing again, Parker, a happy early birthday. Because for the whole month of August, you get to celebrate. That's a privilege of being 89. Wow. So I want to thank you all for coming in today. This was a great day, great discussion, and I learned something. So thanks for that. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. And don't forget, tonight on Center Stage is the place to be.
And don't forget Monday night.
I was just going to say, don't forget Monday night.
I did mention that like two or three times during the hour, but yeah, Monday night's going to be a great discussion for the Havel One.